Welcome to the latest Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast brought to you from the Aquarium Rush Studios in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. My name is Ben.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Charles.
And we have a special guest with us again today. Nick is back because we're kind of doing something a little funky this time.
Yeah, this is going to be a weird week, but thank you for covering for me, Nick.
I'm glad.
And thank you to anyone out there who sent me well wishes. I got a couple of emails and that was super, super sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. What we're doing tonight is we've asked our amazing Watercolors Aquarium Gallery team to come up with a bunch of questions for the podcast hosts. So Nick is going to kind of play, I don't know, game show host. What would you call it? He's going to play that. We're going to see how it goes. I don't know. It's completely anonymous. We have not seen these questions. I guess Nick previewed them a little bit with the, I think I saw some eye rolling.
Only because me and Mandy wrote half of them.
Yeah, how nervous should we be about that?
Right. But before that,
we have to do our shameless plug.
Yeah.
So go to watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. Buy some stuff. We've got plants. We've got aquarium supplies. We've got merch. Check it out. But on that front, I've got something to show you guys. This is a fan submission that I got to my email the other day. This is Watercolors Aquarium Gallery Podcast Bingo.
Oh, no.
This
gets 10,000 feet long.
I was going to just send it to you, but it cracked me up too much. I had to bring it. So shameless plug is one of the squares for anyone who's playing along at home. We already got to it.
Yeah, we have to publish this or maybe post this on the page so people can play along at home.
I'm going to have to ask her, but
we're going to have to figure out how to incorporate this. This is fantastic.
Yes. My favorite one is free space, a.k.a. do your water changes.
Someone throws shade at a big box store. This is great.
Yes. So thank you, Olivia. I love this. This cracked me up so much. I just wanted to share it with the guys too.
She put on here, so do you want a badass fish or do you want a piranha? It's one of my favorites.
Like, oh, do we really say that much?
The one that really got me is yellow tangs are reef safe, .. But this one isn't.
Someone's been paying attention. This is fantastic.
Yes.
You win super fan of the month.
Yeah, for sure.
Someone brings up Tang intelligence, quote unquote intelligence is also. Oh boy.
Well done.
Oh, that's cool. So funny. So we'll post this in our Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast listeners group. If you haven't joined that yet, it's been so much fun lately.
It's like, been a blast.
So many posts. You guys are all amazing and have
episode suggestions.
Really cool tanks. Episode suggestions. We love that there. We've definitely got some on the list that came from that group. So.
Those are more valuable than you think, though. Not just being like, when someone's like, oh, this topic, and then that's helpful by itself. But when I can go in and be like, okay, but this is a big topic. What part of it interests you? Why are you curious? And then like 8 people respond. Holy crap, does that help?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or even just, hey, I like these types of topics. You know, we're here for you guys. So let us know what you want.
Yeah. I even answered some of those questions when I was in Thailand.
Yes.
I saw that. You know, that was fun.
We're all really mad at Ben because he just got to spend 2 weeks in Thailand.
It was,
and we didn't.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah, I can't hold back. You should be jealous. It was really cool.
Exactly.
It was a crazy, amazing place.
All right. Well, there you go. That's
on
what
that
I got
note,
for you.
What do you think? Should we just get into it?
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
We can stall.
Let's,
Amy looks
let's stall.
Really
let's talk about something else for a little longer.
I have no idea what to expect from these questions, though, because like, at the AGA, I knew this topic was coming, and I kind of tried to prod at it by like asking people to come up with like would you rather aquarium-based questions, and they were just so brutal that I was like, oh,
it's
no.
Like, would you rather eat an entire piece of spider wood or jam forceps into your eye? Like,
yeah, there's guys. Some of those. There's definitely some of those. They vary wildly. Like, Robbie actually had some very thoughtful questions.
Oh, good. Robbie put some in.
Those will be the outlier.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's rip the Band-Aid off. I'm ready, I think.
We should set it up a little bit, right? So what I did just before I left for Thailand, like literally the day, I think it was because I left. Yeah, it was the day that I left. I put this box out and I went around and showed everyone. I told what we were doing. And it's the podcast question box. What's the description, Nick? What did I write on there?
All team members must participate. Ask anything. Okay, almost anything. keep it somewhat aquarium related. We will record on the 22nd. What day is today?
Today is the 22nd.
Wow, we're good at planning.
I know, right?
We even did it the day we wanted to.
Yeah.
That's like extra credit.
Let's just do it.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Reach your hand in there and pull out a question. In.
His hand just comes out covered in gum.
All right, lucky number one.
All right.
First of all, how dare you?
All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
If you could be any fish, which would you be and why? Be very detailed and show your work.
That sounds like a Mandy question.
Which fish would you be and why?
Which fish would you be and why? I think one of the angels. Mm. One of the saltwater angels.
You get to do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. And I figure any fish that has other fish that mimic it,
mm-hmm.
because you're so smart, it's probably a good choice.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go with one of the saltwater angels and the blue-faced angels in Thailand were really big,
mm-hmm.
and other fish got out of their way. So
yeah, like that says you don't need to be too afraid of anybody.
Yeah. Mm. You're absolutely gorgeous, which, you know, something I can relate to. Oh, come on. A little chuckle. Something.
Sorry, we're just thinking really deeply.
Yeah. I got an idea for a new bingo square every time Ben mentions Thailand.
That's going to be a new square in the next few weeks.
There we go. I like it.
Thinking like if you were one of those like, you know, big like ambush predatory type fish where you just get to like chill and do whatever you want, like an African lungfish or something.
Until it's time to murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're like, all right, I'm gonna come out of my...
I'm gonna completely ruin this fish's day.
And just like eat and then, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna go back to bed.
And
too big
to
for anyone
up.
To mess with you.
Right. You don't have to wake up like once every, you know, couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they really are the most beautiful fish too.
Mm-hmm.
They got that
mm-hmm.
going for them.
Mm-hmm.
Charles,
what are you, Charles?
Where it counts anyway.
I kind of think I want to be like a remora.
So Charles is identifying himself as a parasite here.
It's called a commensal relationship, but I just love the idea of just... Okay, first off, no one messes with you because you're hanging out with a shark.
It's true. Yeah.
Second off, that shark takes you everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right, I get to see the world and I just get to hang on.
Freeloader.
You just want to be able to see what a great white breeding ground looks like.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best way
it's
to
like,
do it.
It's like, let's go.
Let's go. Road trip.
There's not a single freshwater aquarium fish that I could think of that I would want to be. They don't live long enough.
They're all just little and get eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah. And amazingly endangered.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like you'd want to be something big. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you just get eaten. Nobody wants to be a schooling fish.
Or something that's big enough and then people want to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are those final answers?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're going with.
Yeah. Are we rolling? Yeah. Keep going?
Yeah. Our first answers are our final answers. We can't think about it that much.
Okay. That was pretty easy.
All right, next question. If you could eliminate one genus of fish, which would it be?
Like
off of the planet?
I guess you're playing God in this scenario.
Tilapia.
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 That's
a good one.
What's the Nile perch in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's mine.
Yeah.
Why?
So there's this place called Lake Victoria, and probably everything in it is going to go extinct because of Nile perch. And there's about 500 species of endemic fish.
So they were introduced there?
Yeah.
They were introduced because most of the fish in Lake Victoria don't exceed 5 or 6 inches. The
and
cichlids,
people want
the
to
endemic
eat the...
cichlids. Yeah, and so they needed to introduce a food fish to feed the people.
Uh-huh.
And Charles wanted to squelch the idea of feeding the people.
Dumb people.
don't forget that, you know, my first instinct was tilapia. So,
yeah. You know. But like that hap we were talking about earlier, those things are probably extinct in the wild because it's basically a cichlid sardine, right. And that's exactly what a Nile perch is designed to hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My mind went to the same place because I was thinking about like goldfish and Asian carp and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just wipe out. I think though, I don't know if, I think that's actually a bigger family than I think it is because goldfish have Carassius. I don't know if anything else is in there.
I don't know.
I mean, if you went carp, you would take out koi with it, though.
Yeah, she's fine.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, like, if you could pick one genus, that one at least would take out Asian carps. And
yeah, that's true.
So I'm just gonna argue the point a little bit, because you know that's kind of the idea behind this, right? We think of carp and Asian carp as bad because we are in North America. Mm-hmm. But there are many carp species that are extremely valuable in the ranges to which they belong.
But they're really good at extending those ranges. Whether by natural influence or
no,
by
not by
often
person. Yeah. Usually. Most of the time it's not natural.
Most of the time, though.
Right. Tilapia are actually they live in their native range really isn't that big. But now they are on every continent except Antarctica and doing damage everywhere. All right. So
yeah, that's probably the best, easiest answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three.
These have been so far were pretty good. This so is, far this easy. Too bad. Yeah.
This one just says budget friendly tips.
Budget friendly tips. Water changes.
Water changes, man. Seriously.
That is very true, actually.
You can replace a lot of really expensive equipment with just water changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace for equipment.
Yeah, that's pretty fair for tanks. If you're looking for a big tank, like that's really just the way to go. But if you're looking for a big tank, don't look at a tank at all, I think, if you want to save money. Mm-hmm. Don't look at a glass box or an acrylic box. Look at a tub.
Yeah.
And that can go down to small tanks, too. I mean, you can get something that holds 2 or 3 gallons for a dollar at the dollar store.
True. Yeah.
I will say that the one piece of equipment to never, ever cheap out on is, and I'm hitting that bingo card, as secondhand heaters. I do not trust them.
Yeah. Like, for anything else, there's pretty much a bargain basement option, or, you know, you can live without a filter in some situations. You can live without a lot of stuff. Your tank doesn't need a light if it doesn't have plants in it. So
then maybe a good budget-friendly tip would be look at fish that don't need heaters.
Yeah.
True.
The gorgeous white cloud display we have downstairs right now comes to mind immediately.
And other fish that would do fine in that tank would be like Paleotis cories. Mm-hmm.
Number of different barbs.
A number of different barbs. Rosies and Odessas are the first ones that pop into my head. Mm-hmm.
Danios. This is just a general tip, but befriend other aquarium people.
Yes, seriously. Join a club. People will throw stuff at you.
Yeah.
And discounts.
Yeah. The Grand Valley Aquarium Club costs $12 a year to be a member of.
Yeah. Most people make that back in their first visit here. Because we give discounts. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
All right. Next question.
I want to plug the club a little harder. Mm-hmm. And they just had their rare fish auction. And I'm just going to say, aside from one of the 22 species that went there, all of them went for less than retail value.
True.
There's a reason why they do stuff like that. It's for the clubbies. Yes.
And on the way out the door, 10 people throw bags of floating plants at you.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yep. All right, this next question is, what is your favorite useless product?
Favorite useless product?
To me, that sounds like something that you don't need, but you can get by without it, but the benefit to you is worth it.
Maybe a Pisto Huts?
Oh, yeah.
Like those cute little ceramic decorations with the holes in them. Or that cool little glass feeder thing that nobody needs.
I'm going to go with the glass or the stainless steel input and output tubes for a canister filter.
True.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, they're there just because they're pretty.
I feel like this is a hard question for Charles because he's very much a utilitarian.
I know. Mm-hmm. Favorite useless product. Oh, I'm going to say Plecos.
Useless.
I think that people try too hard to make them this thing that does something for them. I'm like, just appreciate them for what they are. They're great by themselves. They don't need to be a working fish to be worthwhile to you. If you like a Pleco, like it.
Interesting response. I think, it's almost coming at it from the complete opposite direction.
It doesn't need to have a function. It just needs to be enjoyable.
But it does have a function.
Sometimes.
More enjoyable.
But only if it's a bristlenose, really. Like,
yeah. Like, if you just like a L129, that's the Colombian zebra, right?
No, one.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, if you like those, yeah, have it. Just let yourself have fun.
The 129 and the 333 are the two we get that look really similar, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
All right. This next question I already pre-read is going to trigger some stories.
Okay.
Ready? Do you believe in cursed tanks? Tanks that for no reason, no matter what you do, always have something go wrong. Even if other tanks by it don't have any issues. That is a very specific question.
Yeah. I feel like somebody was reliving something when they wrote that.
There's tears on this piece of paper.
There's always a reason.
Yeah. I'm going to say I don't believe in a quote unquote curse tank, but I do believe in the power of self-sabotage and persuasion. And I did have one tank where, like, probably about 12 years ago, no matter what I did, I couldn't get fry reared in that particular 5-gallon tank. And I told myself, you've wasted enough time trying to make this work. Even if it is something you're doing, even if it is blah, 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 just move on to a different tank. Like, I had enough frustration where it wasn't a matter of practicality anymore. It was just, it stopped being fun.
Start with a clean slate.
Yeah. And so sometimes I think there's value in, I think that, like, in that case, I can look back, and I think if a lot of people had looked back with a lot of introspection, their curse tanks, it's something they're doing that they weren't catching at the time. But sometimes just starting over is worthwhile in and of itself, I think.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times it's really just like a feedback loop where you're making these big adjustments and then things swing in one way and then they just always swing back.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I say I don't believe in something that I've actually experienced?
On the service side, I feel like we've definitely seen some tanks that just didn't make any sense.
But there's a big variable in service tanks, and that's the clients.
Yeah.
So
there was one that, as soon as you said it, I'm like, I think I know who wrote that one, and I bet he was thinking of the same tank I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking of the same story you are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So when Watercolors was relatively new, this wonderful couple came in the store super excited about getting a saltwater aquarium. They wanted something small, which was reasonable, and we could do it. And we had this great system. They're like, let's do it right. It wasn't like, I don't care how much it costs, but if there was a reason for spending the money on it, like, yep, let's do it. And we're going to have you guys service it and take care of it. We could not get that tank to cycle. Yeah. No, this tank was being serviced by our top tech, who is phenomenal at what he does and has a tremendous amount of tanks out there that are absolutely incredible. And this tank just, they tried for a year and a half and finally just shut it down, and they were frustrated and we were frustrated, and it wasn't their fault, it was our fault, but that didn't matter.
Yeah, if it's your fault and you don't have the answer, you can't fix it.
Couldn't fix it. And I that one still haunts me. So that's the one that I don't believe in cursed tanks except for that one.
We have had weird stuff like you know that one woman, she's had her tank for like literally years now, and literally every time I test it, it's had ammonia in it. Like, nothing else, just ammonia.
She's had the overfeeding talk 6 times.
Yeah, we've been through every single thing. If it was overfeeding, it would be a nitrate problem at this point. Like, she's not touching filter media. She's not doing anything. It's heavily planted. It's
tested
just
the source water.
Yeah, tested the source water. And this was, like, I think it took her, like, 3 or 4 months of ammonia before we were like, hey, let's just try adding fish and see what happens. And she's got fish in there and they don't die, but it still tests with ammonia every time.
Are you dipping the dip strip in first?
Yes, I usually do.
That'll give you a false positive.
But I do on every like sample. That's usually where I start with.
Yeah, that was news to me. Now I'm rethinking everything.
Yeah, so fun fact, if you put dip strips into a sample of enclosed water first, It can give you a false positive. I haven't quite figured out how or what or which component is in it. It's very clearly one of the tests, but through experimentation here with myself and another coworker, we discovered that you can, like we had a big batch of water in a bucket and we were messing with it. So it was the same water. And we could get some tests to show up with ammonia sometimes if we did things, and we could not get ammonia to show up if we didn't do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've definitely had weird stuff like that happen where I've tested ammonia like when there's no good reason. I've never had it happen so consistently with the same person in the same tank. It's just bizarre. I don't have that answer.
There's crazy ones. So, there's a reason that I said, can I say that I don't believe in something that I've experienced?
Yeah.
Right. And it's because you said it earlier. There's always a reason. There, every time, no matter what, there is always a reason. Sometimes finding it is a long and painful experience.
Yeah.
There is always a reason. If something is wrong with your tank, there's a reason for it. It's not a mystery. It's not mysterious. It's not cursed.
It's not supernatural,
it's
not, at least.
It's not supernatural, right?
It's, I think the expression that Ben and I don't think you and I use it in context outside of conversations with each other. Now I'm thinking about it, but every once in a while we'll say, there's a pattern here. I'm just not smart enough to figure out what it is yet.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There we go.
That was a good one.
All right,
cursed
next question.
Tanks.
What's one fish or aquarium-related item that you regret buying, and why? I want that to be a two-parter.
One?
Yeah, I want that to be a two-parter. I want to hear about the fish you regret buying and the product you regret buying.
I do regret buying the group of platies that wiped out my tank.
I feel the same way about the group of neon tetras that killed my then five-year-old group of clown loaches.
So this is about... you regret buying it from a certain place.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave it there.
I had
but
no
yes.
one to blame but myself for the platies. I can't say anything yeah. about that.
I've had aquariums for like 35 years. That's like 36 years of regret.
There's a long list of regrets.
The only thing that's really like screaming into my mind is hang on the back heaters. Like, who came up with that idea?
That was the only way we could do it back in the day.
It's true, but also... not great.
Yeah. So circa 1998, when all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I get to have a fish room. The first time I went to the aquarium club auction, I spent like $100 on stuff because it was all good deals, right? And it was ridiculous. And going through the next couple of years of building a fish room and trying to figure out what I could do and what was cool and what I could have, I ran across a good deal on a 300-gallon aquarium. It was an 8-foot-long 300-gallon tank. I was like, sweet, this is so awesome. And I called my buddy with a pickup truck, and he's like, dude, you're getting a 300. That's so badass. And we were all like super excited about it, right? And I like scraped my money together, which at that point I didn't have much, but fortunately it didn't take much, and got enough money and ran out there, and we paid the person the money. We'd load it on the back of the truck. We got it into my garage, and we're hosing it out. We're cleaning it out. And we're like, all right, let's go figure out where we're going to put it. I do not have a continuous 8-foot wall anywhere in my house.
Oof.
Poor planning on your part.
There was no place to put a 300-gallon aquarium.
But it was a hell of a deal.
It was a hell of a deal. Yeah.
It feels like it's the same kind of deal. That feels in the same vein of how you're like, a good deal on a dead fish isn't a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, from a livestock perspective, I had a really cool breeding group of... they were sold to me as a Pistogramma species Algodon 2, which I don't think that's actually what they were at this point. They were... somebody from one of the other aquarium clubs went to Peru and collected these fish. And I had, I think it was the F3s, so the third generation, and they were breeding and they were doing great. And then I was at one of the local aquarium stores. This is long before watercolors, long before I even worked in the business. And, hey, Ben, check out these cool fish we got on. Cool, I'll take three. And I bought them, and I put them in the tank with my irreplaceable breeding group of apistos, and I watched every single fish in that aquarium die one at a time over the next month.
Ugh.
So that's part of why I quarantine now.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's my livestock and there's my product regret.
That was a formative moment for you.
It was. Yep.
Amy?
Those fish are the only thing I can think of.
No products you bought. No vacation feeders. No stress guard.
See, I had the benefit of my mom and all her friends guiding me. So there was
those mistakes were made for you.
So like Ben rightfully pointed out, the products that I regret buying were limited by that time, what you could get. So it's like, I can only look back at hindsight. I'm like, I wish those had been figured out, like submersible heaters had been figured out sooner, but.
Yeah. I bought paint covered gravel.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's been all colored gravel is paint colored gravel.
Yeah.
But even the black and white oftentimes is still.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, it's natural. No, it's not.
No. It's paint.
All right. Next question.
Okay.
Were you ever discouraged with fish keeping and how did you manage that?
Yes. 1,000%. I almost got out of the hobby. There was probably about two, so basically from, how does this timeline work? 2016 to 2018, give or take. I actually did not have any tanks for myself. My wife had a pet betta that I took care of because I knew how, and it was just a betta. It was easy. It's fine. But I was fully prepared for when that fish died, that was going to be my last tank. Mm-hmm. Like 1,000% sure that's what was going to happen. And then I mentioned my mom and all her friends. They're fish geeks. And one of my mom's friends told me, hey, did you see that GVAC is going to have a pair of Betta Persephone at their spring auction? And I said, no. And I looked into it. And then I started getting invested and I ended up setting up a 10-gallon tank just in case became a thing. I learned that the fish had originally come from watercolors. I came and checked out the store. I ended up putting an application and the rest is history.
Yeah.
You just answered another question down the line, by the way.
Mm.
Overachiever.
Yeah.
I feel like I've only ever gotten truly discouraged at the point where like what I thought I was able to do didn't match up with what I actually wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like it took me a long time to really settle on just a couple of easy displays at home versus trying to really fight for something more complex. Cause trying to do those projects and watching them like just deteriorate because you don't want to put enough into them. That's where the bummer happens.
Yeah. For me, it was, that where I had multiple breeding projects that I tried that just didn't pan out. And mm-hmm. that was incredibly frustrating. I've alluded to, I've worked at another pet store before that. That was a very different work environment. Mm-hmm. And that started leaking into my hobby. I just, at that time, I was not enjoying keeping tanks.
There's two. No, one, I wasn't really discouraged because there was a breeding competition and I lost and I was almost won. That was a little bit discouraging, but that wasn't it. But there was definitely a time where I went down into my fish room. I was at the probably 45 or 50 tank mark. And I don't even remember what triggered it, but probably a favorite fish died or I came down and the tank was wiped out or something bad had happened. And I went around and I unplugged everything in the fish room. Like, that's it. I'm done.
Wow.
Unplugged it all. And I went upstairs. I got almost all the way upstairs and quick ran back down and turned everything back on again. Just a moment of, that's it. This is terrible. I can't do that. Yeah.
All right. This next question is a total 180, and I think it's my favorite so far.
All right. Cool.
What kind of turtle can I keep with my axolotl?
No.
Seriousers only.
Serious answers only. What kind of turtle? Oh, I know exactly what.
There's these nice ceramic ones you can get in the garden store.
Resin, but yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Easy. Quick one.
Serious answer. Yeah, there's a serious answer.
That one's just mean.
Just mean.
All right, this one is not aquarium related.
Uh-oh.
What is the circumference of a moose?
The circumference of a moose.
Okay, so this is where I admit that I snuck
my
a question
once. okay, but you better have the answer to back it up.
I did actually look this up. 2.7 meters on average.
Okay. Thank you for
but
the fun
this
fact.
Was a. I knew Nick was reading the questions. I was. So I recently found out that he's actually a fan of the old like Ask a Ninja videos.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
And I was really hoping he would catch the reference.
Classic. Wow. That's a major deep cut, yeah. Charles.
Anyways, there you go. That was for our, what is this, our proctor?
Ask a Ninja.
All right, next question. You can only keep either flower horns or parrot cichlids. Which one is it?
Flower horns.
Flower horns.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Easy.
This is weird. I don't know why that was so easy.
No, easy.
Yeah, that was easy to me. I would have picked the same thing. Yeah. Who's your favorite type of customer?
Ooh.
Who's your least favorite type of customer?
My favorite is the person that doesn't know anything and knows they don't know anything. My least favorite is the person that doesn't know anything but think they know everything. People that want to learn is the easy answer to that, right? If somebody wants to learn, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I was thinking like the kid that does their own research.
Oh, those are great.
that's so much fun.
They're great.
Like, I saw this in this YouTube video. Let's talk about it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
My least favorite is the type that asks a lot of questions and then doesn't listen when you answer them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I do start to cringe when I hear the, I've been in this for 20 years. That, like, starting a sentence with that, I'm already pretty much done.
I actually got that in a recent thread, and he was like, I'm not going to give too many details, but in the back of my head, I was just like, and you don't know the difference between these two pieces of equipment?
Exactly.
Okay, clearly that doesn't matter.
You've been doing this for 20 years and you still haven't realized you're not supposed to replace your fish every month?
We had that one, right?
Yeah.
For real.
I've absolutely had that.
And we had one that was didn't get what a cycle tank was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of customers are the ones that have projects similar to my own. Only because then it gets kind of competitive. I love customers that come in and they're like, how's your crib pair doing? How many fry do you have? Yeah. I've got 25.
Yeah. Okay, but were they keeping a pair of cribs before you planted the idea in their head?
They were not.
Here's
the thing. That one was fun because one person in particular, like she and I know, I had a weak start on her and she, a week before... mine did. So technically she 2 weeks faster got fry than me.
Cool.
But I have more fry. So it's like, it's still fun. Anyways.
Is my answer supposed to be someone who comes in and says, I don't care how much it costs. Yeah. Just do it.
Those are some of the hardest, honestly. Yeah. Like when they come in and just say, oh, tell me what I want and I'll give you a card.
That is hard.
Like, do you even want this tank? Like if you're not even interested, why am I here?
Or the person who says like, oh, I adopted this fish, set me up with what I need. And I'm like, cool, you need X, Y, Z. But there are better options for all these things. And I don't want to talk you into them, but you seem like you want them. So
I think another example of like a kind of customer I really enjoy are the people who understand that when you ask them a question, they understand that you're trying to take them on an adventure. And the only way I can explain that is I always dread when people ask me, what kind of plants would you recommend to me? My strategy is I say, okay, why don't you look around, get a feel for what you like? Because if I give you some recommendations, you're going to end up with a tank full of stuff that I like. This tank isn't for me.
Right.
I get two reactions from that. I get an annoyed eye roll, and then I know I'm in trouble. or I get in a, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you'll come back 2 minutes later and they're like, hey, this plant, and this plant look cool. I'm like, okay, plant A and B, perfect. Plant C, not great. But now I know you like something fluffy, so let's go check out this Imbuglia.
I use the same strategy.
Yeah. And it's like I'm not trying to, like, that's the thing that makes it when people are like, I don't care what it costs. I'm like, I don't want to set up a tank for me. I want you to enjoy this thing you're looking at. It's not my tank. Yep. So I guess the people that I don't like are like that, where they're trying to kind of force me to set up a tank that I like, or at least I feel like I'm forcing them to set up a tank that I want.
Yeah. And the passion's just not there.
Yeah. You should. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
The amount of people that I've had, not the amount, that's not like a ton, but somebody, it's happened a number of times. We're going to go with that, where somebody is standing in front of, we've got a tank, a 75 with discus in it. And right underneath is a 75 with angelfish in it. And I'll have somebody standing in front of that going, hey, you got any cichlids?
That's Amy loves those people.
Nick always makes fun of me for the time where, like, I had a guy come up to me. And it was a busy day. And he's just like, where are the cichlids at? And I just, you're going to have to be more specific.
The problem is we know exactly what they're asking.
I know. Right?
They want to know where the Mbuna are, where the African cichlids from Lake Malawi are.
And I'm sometimes like, okay, I'll humor that. And that day I'm not. Like, you don't even care what you're getting. Tell me what you want. Like,
well, that guy was kind of had a sour mood to begin with, so it's not like,
yeah, if someone's gonna interrupt me while I'm with a customer to say something like that, it drives me crazy.
Well, the three of us all have that specific brand, at least an aspect of that specific brand of stubborn, where it's like, no, I'm not gonna give you this, like,
use your words.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready for the next question?
Nope.
Sure.
We're ready for more beer.
Yeah. All right, Nick, you're doing great. Keep
all right
it up.
Back where we left off.
Yep.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. This next one is a lightning round.
Lightning round. Okay.
Don't think too hard. We're just going to fire them off.
Oh, okay. No. Okay.
So this is, name a fish that reminds you of this celebrity.
Of a celebrity?
Of yeah. This celebrity. It's a lightning round.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. You ready?
Oh, okay.
All right. Dwayne Johnson.
A flower horn.
I was going to say Commerce and I, anglerfish.
Oh, that's pretty good. Uh-huh. I went to convict cichlid first. I don't know why.
Katy Perry.
A betta.
Mm-hmm. Like a koi betta. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like a fancy guppy, maybe.
I'm changing my answer. Candy placot.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Cotton candy.
Yep.
Will Ferrell.
Oh, no. Beckford's pencil flesh.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe a clown loach?
That's a good one.
I was going to go with horse face loach.
Trump. Careful.
Nile perch.
An iridescent shark.
A fish stick.
A fish
stick. Jeez.
Channing Tatum. The most handsome fish you could think of.
Yeah, what's the most bro fish out there?
Dude fish.
That's specifically that Firemouth Miki at Shedd Aquarium that held the largest territory in the tank full of convict cichlids. Good for that guy.
I was thinking like a clownfish out there dancing for attention.
Yeah, that's probably.
I'm going with a drape fin barb.
Mm.
All right, last, Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
I'm not sure what kind of fish it is, but it definitely has glasses.
Maybe like a tessellated moray or something.
Ooh. Specific.
Give me a sec, it'll come to me. Probably like a, oh man, I'm blanking on it. It's a species of paradise fish, but it's black, not the blue one.
The spiked tail?
Yes.
The Indian spiked tail?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah. Cool. To say an actual fish, I think I would go with blue gourami with those feelers that are just out there.
Mm-hmm. All right. We good with those answers?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm very set in all of those
answers. I like to give
of
you
the first fish that came
change.
To my head.
What were my answers again?
I don't know.
All right. Next question. Do you believe in ghosts?
No. Not even a little.
No. Nope.
No. It's actually a thing. Like, it's actually a thing where I don't believe so much that all my ghost hunting friends want me to come because they're like,
"No, no, no."
You like, and I'm like,
sometimes it feels like we're haunted from all the ghosts of fish past.
Yeah.
Did you say yes or no, Amy?
I don't believe in ghosts. Okay.
All right, this one's for Ben. Why do people climb mountains?
To see if they can.
Wasn't this your question?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So
the answer
the right
I always want to give is to get to the other side. It's the same reason the chicken crosses the road, and we all know that's the meaning of life.
Mm-hmm. The next one is also for Ben.
Uh-oh.
Given all that you've accomplished in this industry, what's the next big challenge you'd like to pursue?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know that I have I think the big challenge is the one that we're pursuing now, and it's to try and make the aquarium hobby better and better and more ethical.
Yeah, there's no end goal for that.
No, there's not.
You can always be better.
Right. Right. Maybe to get if the aquarium hobby somehow got to the point where big box stores made a positive contribution instead of a negative one, meaning they could have a valuable place in this hobby because it can be a lot of people's first exposure. And if big box stores didn't carry iridescent sharks and common plecos, but carried,
Bingo Square.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. But carried good beginner fish with good beginner setups, then I would feel like the hobby is making progress.
Yeah, that's a good end point.
There we go.
All right, this next one is, why should someone keep an aquarium?
Because they enjoy watching a little living thing in their home. I don't want to say because they want to, because there are people who want aquariums that definitely shouldn't have them. But like, if you have an appreciation for life and want to experience it within the confines of your home, I think that's the right person for an aquarium.
Yeah, I think it's human nature to want to care for and nurture things. And I think most people desire pets. Aquariums are just a much more holistic way to keep pets. If you're keeping a bird, you're putting it in a cage or your house. If you're keeping any other pet, you're doing that, right? But you can actually keep fish in an environment that's like what they come from.
Yeah.
True. Mm-hmm.
There's scientific evidence out there of bringing the human nature need to bring some part of nature into our homes. The need for houseplants, the need for even Christmas trees has been studied as part of that need.
Yeah. Natural light is hugely important.
That was the vein I was thinking in too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This next one is one of those terrible would you rathers.
Okay.
Would you rather get stung in the face by a lionfish or have to drink a shot of week old dead snail water?
Lionfish.
Yeah.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd much rather deal with pain for a couple of days than
throw up 1,000 times
and have to think about it forever. Yeah. Ugh.
What is a fish you love, but anyone you have ever talked to dislikes it?
Fish I love that everybody else dislikes. There's everybody loves some fish. So
yeah, maybe not everybody, but generally speaking, what do you like?
What is the hardest sell fish that is demoralizing
wild
to you?
Bettas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was specifically thinking like Betta Edithae.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that convince somebody that
the big ugly mouth brooders are so good for so many people, but it's such a hard sell.
Yeah.
Because they're not red and have long fins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're much more outgoing, much easier to breed.
Mm-hmm. They're pet fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're great personalities.
Convict would be the other one. I love convicts, and most hardcore hobbyists can't stand them.
Right.
For me, yeah, it's like every gray or brown fish.
Yeah.
Which are often my favorites.
Yeah.
How did you learn about aqua vitro?
Watercolors.
Yeah. It was here when I started.
The C-Chem rep came into my old store and said, let me show you this new product we have. This new line of products we're going to start.
And that's the rest fun. Is history.
Yeah.
Who, as a whole, is the worst kind of aquarium hobbyist?
The people that fully understand that they're killing fish and don't care.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyone Nailed who it. Sees fish as replaceable or consumable. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Who was or is your biggest influence in the hobby?
Takashi Amano.
Yep.
Probably Ben.
I'm genuine. I would not be in the hobby still if it wasn't for this store.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, guys.
That's awesome.
Like warm and fuzzy right there.
Shot of prime or shot of flourish?
Flourish.
Flourish.
Yeah. Flourish looks like soy sauce. Yeah. I can trick myself.
It smells a little soy sauce-ish,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it does have like...
Yeah.
It's not an appetizing smell, but...
To me, it's a little like truffle oil, and ooh, I don't like truffle
okay.
oil.
Okay, yeah,
some
I can see
do,
that.
Some people do, I don't, but I know it's at least edible.
I think we should follow this up with some research on what would actually kill you.
Yeah, like what would be more likely to have something in it that you couldn't Flourish tolerate? Yeah. That one
it's poison!
Definitely, it's poison.
All right, this next one is for Charles.
Oh, no.
So you started at Watercolors part-time. You've now taken on numerous roles such as management, quarantine, service technician, and podcasting. How have these experiences changed your perspective on the hobby?
Oh.
Got real there for you.
Yeah. Like, is this question asking me to explain how working here full-time has change my perspective on the hobby, or like how these individual components of working here have changed my perspective on the hobby?
Probably just where you're at now.
Gotcha.
With your role in this type of industry, how has this changed your outlook?
Maybe how your professional growth has impacted your growth in the hobby.
Yeah. I think the idea that for me, I love the idea of like, Ben always talks about how he loves the idea of someday the pipe dream is that big box stores can be a positive influence. And I'm a little bit more, I don't feel that way.
a little bit more millennial about it.
Yes. Let's put it that way. So I love seeing the trend in the hobby of, and part of why I attach myself to the store is I love the trend of hobbyists and the hobby in general kind of moving in the direction of being more boutique, more like, you know what I mean? So I think I would really love the future of the hobby to not be big box stores are now mm-hmm. a positive influence, because personally, I genuinely don't think they ever can be, because I don't think they ever want to be.
That I don't disagree with in the slightest.
Yeah. But I love the idea that the hobby won't need them anymore, because we will have a flourishing industry of local fish stores who will satisfy everyone's needs locally.
Yeah. Well, I think the addition of the internet and being able to Google where places are has... Why do we need chain stores anymore?
Yeah. And I don't know, just the idea... What was attractive to me about this place was that I had found so much of what existed at the hobby at the time when I had kind of stepped out that I just wasn't happy with, I wasn't satisfied with, and I just didn't really like the industry as a whole. And this kind of place got me more connected with like people in a community, and coming to the idea that maybe the hobby can do something good. I'm not sure if it's there fully yet. But the idea that it can, and there should be a separation between, like, I had a conversation today where I said, yesterday actually, where, the conversation was basically hobbyists should not need to quarantine. That's stupid. That's dumb. Wholesalers should not need to quarantine, 'cause that's stupid and dumb. retailers should. And that was a big paradigm shift for me.
Just a clarification. Fish need to be quarantined at some level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's just impractical to do it at the wholesale scale and impractical to do it at the hobbyist scale. It should be the local fish stores.
Yep, 100%.
And that's full circle with the, yeah, I think the hobby should move in the direction of boutique.
I agree. Yeah. My comment about big box stores had way more to do with the fact that they're not going away.
Yeah.
It was not a comment about, that would be really cool if we had big box stores that did this, right? I don't want there to be big box stores. I want there to be local businesses. That's better and better to support. But they ain't going anywhere.
So if they're going to be here, they may as well be useful.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I felt the same. I'm not going to elaborate too much, but there are things and animals that big box stores were carrying 10 years ago that I thought would never go away. I would just like to see that trend continue.
Yeah, sure.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah, and to see like fish sections being pulled out of major grocery chains and that kind of thing, that's absolutely a step in the right direction towards understanding that selling dead fish isn't
There's
a viable
no way to
solution.
Do that ethical. Yeah. Like, you just can't.
I want to see more people angry about that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have Anyways. That same energy for any other animal.
Yeah, rather than just saying, oh, well, I'll just shoplift some bettas and call it good.
And they say, sweet, we'll replace that betta and sell it again.
Yeah, oh, obviously people really want them.
Wow, that turned. But yeah, I don't know. Just the idea that the hobby can be a force for good. It's not there yet, but we have to we have to be those
Keep
stewards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This next question is for Amy.
Mm-hmm.
So since your degree is actually unrelated to the hobby, it's not biology related, what intrigued you about the hobby to turn this into a career path of sorts?
Well, I pretty much chose my area of study by process of elimination because I knew that it would be useful in a lot of different jobs. I studied advertising for whoever may be curious. But I've always been into animal care and I don't know. Aquariums are just a really ground level way to do that. I've volunteered in a lot of different organizations, but this is what drew me in.
And it's not to say that your background isn't hugely helpful here, because it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just a bit of a jack of all trades. I'll do whatever.
I guess so. All right. What's the worst way you've ever messed up with any aquarium?
Jeez.
Yikes.
With an aquarium or something related to aquariums?
Is this the beginning of the podcast? Like, do we have that much time?
We can broaden that a little bit if it makes it
The worst way. Like, this is the worst one, right?
That's what it said.
My worst. So would we define that as loss of life, expense, amount of time for cleanup?
What hurt you the most?
What hurt me the most? Physically or emotionally?
I want to hear physically.
Wow.
Okay, so I had a 10-gallon saltwater aquarium with a hang-on-the-back filter that I didn't set up a drip loop, and it had a very small leak in it, right? And I didn't notice. And the there was an anemone in that tank, which, yes, I know that's a terrible idea now, but at the time I didn't know any better. And the anemone got caught in the filter. And I reached down, that plug was, it was plugged into the head of a regular household extension cord, you know, like the classic brown ones that have three.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And so I reached and I grabbed onto that plug head to unplug the filter, and the salt creep had gotten into that. And so when I grabbed onto it, I immediately, the left side of my body was completely paralyzed from the electrical shock going through it, the amount of current that was going through it.
Yeesh.
And I was incapable of letting go. So I stood there for a minute, and you know, on cartoons when somebody gets electrocuted and they go blah, 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 they make that sound. That happens.
Wow.
Yeah, that's real. I actually made that sound.
Were you alone?
I was alone. Yep. And fortunately, it was just the left half of my body that was paralyzed. And I used my right hand to hit my left hand. And it took three tries, and I was able to knock the extension cord top out of my hand. So that was...
You know. And what was your thought process after? Was it? Did you question your life choices?
All of them, yeah.
Is this when you started unplugging everything? Point,
yes. No, that's not when I started unplugging everything, actually. No, but I did question everything in my life up to leading... Like, what is it in my life that led me up? Because... That was stupid. Not the stupidest thing I've done, but one of the most painful.
And now you harp on me about drip loops.
Exactly. I harp on everyone about drip loops.
You just got to get electrocuted to learn.
But no, I think my worst mistake, and I think I've told the story before, but you know, hey, that's what this is all about, is telling stories, right? I had two 40-gallon saltwater aquariums that were on a wrought iron stand, one stacked up on the other. And this is a beginning of marriage. Young married couple with a kid trying to scrape by, you know, make an existence happen with not enough money and big dreams that were way too big. And
expensive hobbies.
And expensive hobbies. And talked my amazing, wonderful new wife into a fish that was more than we spent more on this fish than really we should have been spending on a fish at the time. And I put it in the tank and I acclimated it. And then I checked the temperature and it was the 40 that I put it in, it was too cold. And there was a heater in the bottom tank, but not in the top tank. And we'd put this fish, because it was amazing, in the top tank. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to move the heater a second. I pulled the heater out of the bottom tank and I put it in the top tank.
Without unplugging the heater?
Yes. And then left. And... I got a call at the bar. I went to go meet some friends at the bar. Hello, is there a Ben Van Dinther in the bar? Because this was pre-cell phone. Right. And so, of course, the aquarium exploded in the tank and electrocuted the new very expensive fish.
Ugh.
Right. So that's probably the worst mistake.
What was the fish?
It was a powder brown tang.
Aww.
And at that point, they were $49.99.
And that was still a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That room must have been nice and warm for it not to blow up as soon as you pulled it out of the water.
Yeah. Somehow, there was also a Niger trigger in that tank, and the Niger trigger survived.
Mm-mm. Heaters are
and
scary.
So did my wife when she reached into the tank to pull the fish out.
Oh, my God.
She reached in. She looked at it. Like, what
a badass.
What the hell is going on? Oh, yeah. She's a badass. No doubt. She reached in and... She describes the story as she reached in, she pulled her hand out, and as soon as her hand came out, she saw the heater explode inside the aquarium.
We should get Robin on one of these podcasts.
We really should. That
She's
would
got
be amazing.
A whole new perspective on all
it's
these
like,
stories.
We just have Robin instead of you. You're not allowed to talk. We're going to do drama.
Well... Thank you all for listening to the Watercolors Growing Podcast. This is our last episode.
Ben is Bye locking forever. The door, never coming yeah. back.
All right. You have had a lot of time to think. Amy, what's your worst? What's the worst way you've ever messed up an aquarium?
I've been pretty sheltered here, but I did lose two tanks last year to temperature fluctuations. That was pretty bad.
Just without a heater and you hoped it would
Well, the first
fine?
One was my mantis shrimp tank, which we had a power outage. We had a failsafe. It turned off and I didn't think to go back and turn it on. And just by the time I did, it was just too cold.
Rip Luigi.
Yeah. And then the other one I didn't really need a heater for, but I put it in a room that got a lot colder than I thought it did. So I lost my mantis shrimp and my pantaloaches last year at a temperature drop.
Aww.
Neither of which needed to happen. So that was probably my biggest stupid mistake twice in a row.
I feel like it's all a tie between literally every single time I've managed to introduce ick into any tank. Because like at some point I'm like, you're better than this. How do you keep doing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, anytime ick makes it into like our retail system.
Yeah.
That feels like a huge failure.
Yeah.
So
how? It should not be possible. It should not should be it? Physically possible.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Touch.
Yeah.
All right, to lighten the mood, go around the table and everybody explain why Mandy is your favorite employee. because she has the best questions. That's why.
Mandy is my favorite employee because she never complains about anything. And
she never complains to you, maybe.
Always just quietly does her work without saying anything. Does everything for everybody. No, I don't know. I don't know how many more sarcastic ways I can come up with. Shut up, Mandy.
What did you expect when you wrote that? For sure.
Let's all just talk like crap about her for the next 20 yeah, exactly. minutes. Let's just make stuff up.
Yeah. Remember that one time when she walked in and she had shoes on that didn't match? And yeah. You know she didn't do it on purpose?
I know one time she just punched a customer. I don't know why she did it.
He was the sweetest guy. He was a monk. All right, this next one says, please work on consistent volume for the podcast. I keep having to adjust the volume every 5 minutes.
Aw. We're trying.
That's
insert
a real critique.
5 minutes of yep. crying.
All right, we're down to the last question.
This is the last one.
Wow,
this was
fun and easy.
And also, I expected more of these questions to be jarring. So if and when we open this to
the public,
the listeners,
yeah. Oh, we're doing that.
I want to see no holds barred. All right, last question. This is for everybody. What inspires and motivates you to remain in the hobby and this business?
The people that work here.
The idea that the hobby can be better.
Yeah, it's nice to think about that you could make a difference in an industry that does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
But to me, it's just always, there's always something more to learn.
Yeah.
Like, if I felt like I knew everything about it, I'd be done. But I never will.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite statements, Amy. You took it.
Never stop learning.
Yeah, it's true. We did it. We survived.
That was it? That wasn't that bad.
That was easy.
I think we checked most of our bingo squares,
too. But yeah. I feel like a lot of these questions, like the one that was just like, how has your perspective changed? That's the kind of question that I'm like, man, I wish I had time to prep for that so it could actually be thoughtful instead of being like,
Charles is going to lie awake thinking about that question.
I will, actually.
Nah, off the cuff is good for that, though.
Yeah, that's the fun.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to know what your reactions are going to be to something.
Well, do we have an email address set up for Nick?
Yeah, I mean, if you just email podcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com, that should go straight there. Though I think it does forward to the email that Charles has access to. So maybe...
I mean, Nick is screening my emails.
Yeah, like we should have a subject line that people put in so we know it's related to this. Podcast questions?
Podcast questions.
Oh, no, wait. Because podcast question could be... somebody has a question about a podcast.
Right.
I'll figure it out.
No, we're gonna say it.
Yeah.
Right now, we're gonna announce it. Now, we're gonna announce it also in the next podcast.
We have one that's podcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. So okay. That's the best place to reach out with any feedback about the podcast or questions, comments, concerns. But if you want to leave a question for us to do in our like listener questions episode.
I think that since Ben said that it's his biggest inspiration and I can see his biography across the way from me, I'm going to say put in the subject line, Origin of Creation, Takashi Amano, and I will know, do not read that email.
We're just going to, let's abbreviate that, Origin Questions.
Yeah.
There we go. Origin Questions.
All right.
That's what we want you to call
it. That's the code.
We're going to do this again here soon, a similar kind of format with Nick answering the questions, but this time we want those questions to come from you. So, podcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com.
Yes.
Submit your questions, put in the subject line origin questions, and then those will go to Nick only, and Nick will read those, and we'll do this off-the-cuff thing only with questions coming from our favorite listeners out there.
And I guess we'll just do it whenever we feel like we get enough.
Yeah. No, let's say we're going to do that in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we'll release that episode in January. It means we'll probably record that in January. Is that what we're saying?
So let's say January 30 is the deadline for those questions.
Okay.
We give people plenty of time. That's 2 months, and we'll mention it again during upcoming podcasts. We'll put that in our shameless plug.
Mm-hmm. We're going to put plug in that.
We're plugging that one too. You know, keep it real, but keep it fun. What do you really want to know? What are you really curious about? What do you think would be fun to ask us? And
yeah, just try to make them like quick ones. If you've got long ones, we want to answer those too, but some of them deserve their own episode.
Agreed.
So
yeah, like the fish nutrition thread. That is not a quick question, by the way.
Yes. Don't, if you send in, what should I feed my fish? It's going to be,
Ocean Nutrition Community Flake, move on.
That's it. Nick, you did an awesome job. Thanks for being the, was it proctor? Is that the term where?
I don't know. I just, that's the first title I could think of in the moment.
Yeah, I held a lot of power.
This group, it could have gone a lot worse. So I'm feeling pretty good about this one.
Yeah.
I think they might have been a little reserved. We might revisit this one like in a year.
If we do a second one, it'll just be wild stuff.
Brutal.
We are kind of revisiting some ideas that we've done in the past.
Yeah.
I'm excited for one we're recording soon.
I think next year, if we do this again, Mandy will say, I asked you to explain why.
I need a 3-paragraph essay.
My idea for questions would be, who would you fire between this person or this person?
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, we'll save that one.
Yeah.
What is my worst trait?
That's really funny to me, only because the idea of like the podcast listeners have no idea what the interaction between anyone that's not me, Ben, and Amy, and they're just wow, they're really digging on this person. Jeez.
Who's Mandy? She must be terrible.
All right, let's face it. She pretty much said, you should pick on me, right? When she asked that question.
Yeah, she was asking for
it. She was, totally. Yeah. What was it that you said you're looking forward to, Charles? The podcast?
Oh, yeah. Like, we're starting to revisit old ideas. Like, we're getting ready to redo the top 5 freshwater fish you won't see at Watercolors one.
Yeah.
And
just so you all know, that's not because we're running out of ideas. It's because when we did that one, we feel like it's a really important topic and we were new. So we want to do that one better.
I'm also very curious to see, did our opinions change?
Yeah.
Like, it's been 2 years.
Yeah. Doing this podcast has definitely changed my perspective on a lot of different things, like forcing me to look at some of my opinions and maybe disagree with some of them too.
Yeah
I like it.
Well, find us at watercolorsaquariumgallery.com for live plants, for aquarium merch, for aquarium supplies. Find us on Facebook and Instagram for pictures, videos, updates about the shop. And you can always email podcasts at watercolorsaquariumgallery.com with feedback, opinions, topic ideas, questions, or post them in our Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast Facebook group. I think that's everything.
That was good. You covered it. Thanks, team, for submitting all these great questions. Thanks, Nick, for reading them off. And thank you out there so much for listening. Let's have lots of fun and keep those hands wet.